Charting New Orleans' charter school experiment 10 years after the flood. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. First, China's central bank held a rare press conference today, a bid to calm global fears about the slipping value of Chinese currency that it had itself engineered on Monday. Marketplace's China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz joins us from Shanghai. Rob, did the press conference work?
Well, by the end of the day, this press conference appeared to calm the Asian markets a bit, but the language the central bank used was a bit baffling, and it's left a lot of economists wondering if Beijing really has control of the situation. The bank's vice governor told journalists, trust the market, respect the market, fear the market, and follow the market. Obviously, emphasizing the market is now determining the yuan's value. But as someone on Twitter observed, he left something out. Intervene in the market, because that's what the central bank is doing. Yesterday, it dumped $20 billion worth of U.S. T-bills to bring the value of China's currency up a little. And today, it fixed the currency decline at 1%. So I think a lot of people in the know are scratching their heads at this contradiction between what China's central bank is saying and what it's actually doing, because it doesn't appear that much has changed. Beijing is still very much in control over its currency.
Rob, thank you. Markets now. The FT 100 in London is up 0.8%. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong went up 0.4%. S&P Dow and NASDAQ futures are up by about 0.3% each. After Katrina and the great flood, New Orleans threw out its failing public schools and started over. It's the country's most sweeping experiment in the use of charter schools, where independent organizations figure out how they'll use the money that comes in from largely government sources. Coming up on 10 years after the flood of floods, I traveled to New Orleans to look at some of the changes since I was there reporting in the immediate aftermath. Yesterday, student and teacher experiences. Today, doing some numbers on success and failure. I met with one of the teachers who came to New Orleans to join America's most sweeping experiment in public education. This summer, weeks before the kids would arrive, he was already in a charter school preparing.
New Orleans sucks you in. You know, now I don't want to leave and I'll be here in the long run because I love the community.
26-year-old Phil Dorn from New York's Long Island has a BA in philosophy and history. He'd enrolled in Teach for America, a nonprofit that takes people looking for a worthwhile post-college assignment and puts them through a teacher's boot camp before finding them work. And work it is for Mr. Dorn, up at 5:30, in at 7:30.
I would stay probably until 8 o'clock, and then I'd go home and do work until probably 11.
He works at Encore Academy, a charter that focuses on the arts. It's open to any student in the city who applies and wins the district's quasi-lottery system. Encore, therefore, has many students from economically disadvantaged backgrounds. Dorn is a deeply reflective guy who wrestles with coming from such a distance, that is, being a white guy from New York.
Most of the teachers that do go into TFA, they don't look like the students that they're serving. There isn't this push for teachers to really understand the community that they're working in. And it's difficult, you know, when you're working from 6 a.m. to 11 o'clock, you don't really have time to engage with the community in the way that you would.
He means the larger community beyond the students, colleagues, and parents here. Now entering his third year, he hopes to have more time to interact. He's taking himself out of the classroom and will become an administrator. This school opened just 3 years ago and never experienced the conversion from regular public to charter. But about the performance of the schools that did go through that transition, there is an ocean of disagreement.
There's very little to cheer about. It has been an academic failure. An operational failure.
Raynard Sanders was a principal in the pre-storm public system.
The whole intent of this reform obviously was not academic achievement because they have not done that. So they have a different definition of success.
It must
be
a different metric.
Yes.
So what do you think that metric might be then?
Well, I think the metric for them is privatization.
Students in the New Orleans Recovery School District, schools ordered to become charters and overseen by the state, averaged just 16.6 using one measure that gets a lot of attention around here, the ACT college entrance exam. That's well under the national average score of 21. But you can also grade on improvement. Tulane economics professor Douglas Harris, director of the Education Research Alliance for New Orleans, looked at student data in New Orleans before and after Katrina. New Orleans, he says, improved compared to other parts of Louisiana hit by the storm.
Basically, all the schools seem to have gotten better. And so the schools that were higher performing got better. The schools that were lower performing also got better.
Based mainly on test scores, but also graduation and college entry rates. He does note that the schools forced to convert into charters were in a district that had really low marks before.
New Orleans was so low performing to begin with. It was the second lowest performing district and the second lowest performing state.
And critics say don't confuse not as bad with success. Former Principal Sanders, who's working on a documentary about the schools called A Perfect Storm, says the charters are less about lifting up students and more about lifting up business interests.
When someone comes talking to you about school reform, watch the money.
And about that price tag. With no union pay scales and less experienced teachers in the mix, one might think the charter school model would be a money saver, but not in New Orleans, says Tulane's Professor Harris.
It's not a cheap model. If you're going to have people working very long hours, you still have to pay people. You still have to pay them reasonably well, especially if you're going to ask that much more of them.
Per pupil spending surged from mainly public but also philanthropic sources.
It was an investment at every level, and districts shouldn't take away the message that this is going to save them money or they can do this on the cheap.
This will be of interest to other public school districts from Atlanta to Baltimore and beyond that are looking at the post-Katrina charters as a guide. You can find links to Dr. Harris's and Dr. Sanders' differing assessments of school reforms at marketplace.org. Tomorrow here, we'll talk to one veteran of the flood at ages 13 and 21. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.